focus on our mission to reach our city for Christ. So we're going to renew our focus, and then we're going to refocus on the Bible so that we know our mission, that it's crystal clear. The third thing we're going to do, we're going to refresh our lives so we have the strength and energy to accomplish the mission that God's called us to. Fourthly, we're going to revive our commitment to Christ. And lastly, we're going to reestablish our relationships with one another. So those are the things that we're looking at doing in 2019. So the question you have is, how will we do this? Well, the first thing that we're going to do, I've called this the year of the Bible. 2019 is the year of the Bible. And what we're going to do is we're going to look to eliminate distractions in our lives. And as we look to eliminate these distractions, we're going to hit the reset button and ask God to bring us back to that place that maybe we have gone astray and that we need to come home to. So I'll be bringing a series of messages concerning that. And also in January, the entire month of January, we're only going to do it 21 days. So don't panic on me. But 21 days, we're going to fast and pray. And you say, gosh, John, that fasting kind of scares me. Or maybe I have medical issues and I am unable to fast for 21 days. I'm not asking you to fast by just simply drinking water for 21 days. That's something you have to build up to. But what I am asking you to do is to do one of these fasts that I'm going to share with you. Now, there's that complete fast, which means you just do water and juices for 21 days. And you say, well, all right, why am I going to fast? We're going to fast to seek God's purpose for our lives in 2019. We're going to fast to seek God's purpose for us corporately as a church body in 2019. So what we're wanting to do is refocus on what Christ would have us to do. So there's a complete fast. There is a selective fast. Maybe you remember the reading about Daniel in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, the Daniel fast, where you eat vegetables and you don't eat meats or sugars or bread or those type of things. Then there's a partial fast. It's also called a Jewish fast. And that type of fast it would be more commonly known today as an intermittent fast. And what that means is you might eat one meal a day and fast the rest of the day. And a lot of people are doing that now, and a lot of physicians are saying that's a very healthy way to eat. I don't know. I'm still on three a day. I'm sorry, and then snacks in between. But I'm working on it, and I look at really bringing myself to fast. And then there's the soul fast. And the soul fast is, that's for those who have health issues and they're not able to do the fast that we're talking about. But you wish to do that and you wish to be part of this process that we might understand and know God's will completely. So what does that fast mean? Well, that fast, you may fast from social media. You'll just set social media aside, not to be distracted by it. Or if you're consumed with television watching, you may say, I'm not going to watch 8 hours of TV a day. I'm just going to watch 1 hour of TV a day. So, but why you do that? So you'll feel pain? No. So you can seek the will of God for our lives, personally and corporately. Now, if we'll rededicate ourselves to this challenge in 2019, to renew, refocus, refresh, revive, and reestablish, I believe God will do some incredible things in this church. So, you'll get the letter, and I'll be explaining it to you, and I pray that you would be involved at some measure of fast during this period of time and focus on the Lord. So, that said, housekeeping chores are done. Today, over the last year, we have been doing doctrinal studies on Wednesday nights. And if you've been with us, which most of you have, and some that are unable to be with us tonight because of the season and sickness, we've been talking about the doctrine of God. And we spent about 6 months on the doctrine of God. And then we just finished the doctrine of the Bible, bibliology, and we spent about 6 months on that. Well, now we are at the doctrine of Christ, or Christology, and we will probably spend about 6 months on this. And before we get to the outline, let me just kind of give you a overview, because what you have is one outline that many more outlines will follow in this Christology study. Let me just kind of share with you what I'm going to do, what the syllabus would be here. The question that you might ask is, who is Jesus Christ? You've probably been asked that question, and if you haven't been asked that question, at some point in your life you probably will be asked that question. And the question then is, what difference does it make who Jesus is? What's the difference? I mean, does he make any difference? I mean, he lived 2,000 years ago. He walked planet Earth. But what does that mean for us today? Well, the truth is, knowing Jesus Christ will help you and your character. You'll be a better person when you know Jesus Christ. He will mold your character. He will impact your daily walk. He will impact your belief system. And also, he will change your lifestyle. Those are all good, but the most important thing that Jesus does when he comes into our life, he determines our eternal destiny. So that's the reason we study. So what are we going to be looking at over this six-month period? Well, let me just kind of walk down through this. You don't have any of this back there. I'll get to the study, I think, okay? But I want you to know where we're going, because it's pretty important to know the road upon which we're going to be driving upon to get to the destination that we're going, so you understand. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is the critical importance of the doctrine. Why is the doctrine of Christology so important? Number one, because there is no salvation apart from Christ. He is the only name whereby men must be saved. Without Jesus, you will be lost eternally. Secondly, underneath that same thought is, the doctrine of Christ is the key litmus test for all false teachers. You'll run into people who will say, well, Christ was a prophet or a good man or a good teacher, but Jesus is not the Messiah. Now, I'm telling you, when you run into those people, you need to get away. You'd run. Then we'll look at the person of Jesus Christ, because Jesus himself, he claimed to be God. His followers claimed that he was God. He had divine names that were attributed to him. He exhibited divine characteristics or attributes. He filled divine offices, prophet, priest, and king, and he accepted divine worship. Now, Josh McDowell wrote a book several years ago, back probably in the late 70s, early 80s, I passed hundreds of those out, and it's called More Than a Carpenter. And he basically says in that book, and I believe it's absolutely right, that people either call Jesus Lord, liar, or lunatic. Because those are the only three options you have. For us, as followers of Christ, he is Lord. He is Lord. So as we commit our lives to him, we have to understand what he claimed, and then we have to know what we believe. Then thirdly, we look at his humanity. And he had a human mother, but no human father. His father was our Heavenly Father. But he was 100% God and 100% man. We'll discuss that. And by the way, on Christmas, our Christmas service on the 23rd of this month, what I have done, I have written a story. So I'm not going to preach. I'm going to read the story of what it means for the incarnation, what it means that God would send his son, and it will be a conversation. It's all biblical references, a conversation between the Father and the Son. Now I know that this probably did not take place, so I'm using a little imagination, but scripture is laced all through it. So we'll be talking, the Father will be talking to his Son about him coming to earth and what it means. And he'll tell him the whole story. He'll lay it out for him. So hope and pray you'll be here for that and bring somebody else. Well, we'll do that Sunday morning after our worship team leads. I'll come out and sit in the chair. I'll have a spotlight on me. And it will be like reading the Christmas story to your children on a Christmas morning. Okay? That's the way it's going to be. All right. Well, in his humanity, he had a human mother. He was also subject to human limitations. I mean, he limited himself to what he could do, even though he was 100% God. He was subject to ordinary laws. He grew as a boy into a man. He looked like a Jew. He didn't look like us. He looked like a Jew because he had Jewish lineage. He had a human body. Well, Gnosticism, which says, you know, we just assume that. That's not true at all. He had human names and human titles. Son of Man. We'll go through all of those things. We'll talk about his incarnation. The fact of his incarnation, we'll talk about that. The means of the incarnation, which is incredibly important. The virgin birth, because without the virgin birth, you could have no sinless Son of God. You could have no forgiveness of your sins. It's the virgin birth that short-circuited the sin cycle, which had caused us to fall and sent us and damned us to hell. He short-circuited that and he gave us hope. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about his birth. It was scriptural. We'll go back through the Old Testament. We'll see all of those prophecies. We'll talk about his sovereign birth. We'll talk about his sinless birth. We'll talk about his supernatural birth. We'll talk about his Savior's birth. All of those areas we're going to delve into, and we're going to plumb the depths and the riches that God has in his Word, and we're going to share it so we'll know it. Because, as Adrian Rogers would say, I want you to have a rock-ribbed faith. And that's what we need, a faith that's on the solid rock that none can shake. The unity of his two natures, we'll talk about that. The impeccability, that means Jesus sinless. Jesus Christ is sinless. We'll talk about the death on the cross, the reasons for Christ's death. We'll talk about those. The extent of Christ's death, how far it reaches, we'll talk about that. The nature of Christ's death, the accomplishments of Christ's death. We're going to talk about a lot of things, aren't we? Well, we're only half through because I've got the rest of the syllabus to give you. And that means we'll go to the resurrection and the ascension. We'll talk about the nature of the resurrection. He rose bodily. That's constantly one of those issues. In fact, several people I've been talking with, I can get them all the way up. Yeah, Jesus, I believe he's the Son of God. And to me, when you believe that, the other dominoes should fall. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he was buried. But I don't believe he resurrected. I mean, if God can create everything, the resurrection's a small thing, right? But it's a resurrection that validates Jesus' sinless life. So, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the tomb being empty. We'll talk about Jesus showing himself to the disciples in bodily form. We'll talk about the proofs for the resurrection. We'll talk about the empty tomb. We'll talk about the grave clothes. We'll talk about the post-resurrection appearances. We'll talk about the reaction of the officials, Roman and Jewish. We'll talk about the changed lives of the disciples. We'll talk about the formation of the church. We'll talk about the change in the day of worship. We'll talk about the testimony of the early church. We'll talk about the testimony of lives throughout history. And we'll also talk about the significance of the resurrection. Then we'll move to the present ministry of Christ. Because he's still moving in our world. And we need to realize, as Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So his ministry is just as powerful today as it's ever been. But often we negate the power of the presence of God in our lives. And we need to rekindle that fire. And that's what our goal is for 2019. We'll talk about his activities in relation to creation, him sustaining the universe. We'll talk about him exercising his universal authority. We'll talk about his relationship, his activities in relation to the church. We'll talk about he is building the church. He is the head of the church. He gives supernatural spiritual gifts to the church body to be used, not for you, but for the edifying of the saints and the building of the kingdom. He's sanctifying the church. We'll talk about his activities in relation to believers. He has an intimate relationship with every believer. If you are in the family of God, you've been born again, you have been blood bought, you have an intimate relationship with the Heavenly Father. We just need to deepen that. He serves as our great high priest. He prays for us. He's our advocate. He answers our prayers. He helps us with temptations. He enables us to bear fruit. And by the way, What passage really talks about that, that we're going through right now on Sunday mornings? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Yeah. By the way, the next one, when we get to it again, it'll probably be the first of the year, to be about humility. He enables us to bear fruit, I said. His present activities in relationship to the future. He is preparing a place for us. John 14. Isn't that wonderful? He's waiting for His future kingdom. Then we'll talk about the future ministries of Christ. He will come and He will rapture the church. He will reward Christians at the judgment seat of Christ. That's the Bema seat. He will pour out His wrath during tribulation. He will return to reign on earth during the millennium. And then He will judge sinners at the great white throne judgment. And lastly, we'll talk about Him reigning forever. Now, that's all we're going to talk about during this. So, do you have any questions that you'd like to share right now or ask? Because I think we don't really have time to really get into this tonight. I don't want to start and then just get down through about one verse. But let me give you one verse that you know so well. You need to hang on to. It's John 14, 6. You know what it says? No man comes to the Father except He come through me. Well, with all of that said, I hope I didn't waste your time tonight. I hope I painted the picture of where we're going. Because you need a map to get to your destination. By the way, it takes a long time to put these maps together. But I think it's so important that the church be sound. And there's too much fluff and not enough stuff. So we want to give you stuff. Because that is critical for your long-term belief in Christ. All right, let's stand together. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Appreciate your attendance tonight. And remember...